Preston and Steve Fun Size.
I wanted to play some audio for you guys, and I forgot to tell you about this. When I went on my little trip to the Grand Canyon and stuff like that, the first day we had two tour guides. One guy was a tour guide in training, and what he does on the side, he actually is a coyote hunter, or as they say, coyote hunter. And so he was, you know, dropping all sorts of coyote knowledge on me. But he was...
you must become the coyote, right?
Well, so he does an amazing coyote call. So they brought us out into, like, the middle of this wilderness area. At one point, I got a little afraid that they were going to off us and bury us there right there in the woods. But as it turns out, no, he like, does, like, a legit coyote call. And when they do that... And unfortunately, the coyotes didn't show up. But he said, like, normally, like... 9 times out of 10, 99 times out of 100 when he does
it. Yeah, did you call?
That's kind of how they are.
Do they do this so that, like, around cattle and things like that, farms, they help curtail that issue? Mm-hmm. Or is coyote hunting just a thing, a sport?
Well, out there, I didn't realize how invasive a species coyotes are.
They are.
And how the, but they're also, like, a really smart species as well. So,
yes, they can drive.
Yeah, I don't think they can drive, but... But I wanted to play this coyote call for
Please,
you.
Please, play the coyote call for us.
Because this is an actual human being doing a coyote call.
This guy's like the Tarzan of...
Of coyotes.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. You ready for this?
Crank it all the way up.
This is a human being.
You don't have it plugged in.
Oh, man.
Why is that not...
I don't know why.
I can hear it coming from your phone, but you have it plugged in?
Yeah.
Oh, here we go.
Boost it, dude.
Wait, all right. Try it now.
Let me go back a little bit. Sorry.
Does he actually just text them?
Well, it sounds like a human being.
Yeah, if I was a coyote, I could pick that out, no problem. Like,
I know you're
That's
human.
A dude.
It sounds the beginning of it sounds like the huh that you do with the That sounds like that. Steve could do that, no problem.
Dude.
I'd have a conga line. Yeah. It'd be like a convention of coyotes.
Uh-huh. Here, but that guy would have a job.
Coyotes! Come to me, coyotes!
My cousins live in suburban Los Angeles. They're in a place called Pacific Palisades. They've had
I'm in suburban Los Angeles!
And?
They've had two cats killed by coyotes.
Yeah, Nick, they'll come in and kill small dogs, even fairly large dogs. And what blew my mind was that Western coyote, which you would assume would be, is it coyote, can you say plural? Is it singular? Or
I don't know.
Anyway, that the Eastern coyote is bigger than the Western coyote. Really?
But they just came in and Preston, what your dogs did to that rabbit last week, that's what they did to the cats. It's just eviscerated dogs.
Believe it. So stop it. You're going to call him, Steve. You're going to get him into the air.
The elevator opens up. A coyote steps out.
What do you need?
What do you want?
Yeah. All right. Interesting case. Yep. I did not know that will call coyotes.
To be honest, though, I have never done it in my life. I think I'm better than that guy.
I think you are, too. I'm more impressed, most definitely.
Thank you.
Our next guest is on the line and ready to go. He is going to be in Philadelphia as there will be a special screening of the new film, Jay and Silent Bob Reboot, at the Film Center on November 7th. You will be able to attend. And we just love talking to him, and we consider him, obviously, a friend of the show. So please welcome Mr. Kevin Smith to our program this morning. Kev.
Good morning, my East Coast people. Let me tell you something. I know a thing or two about the coyote, man. I live in the Hollywood Hills.
Yeah.
And so it's crazy. We're about 1-2 blocks above Hollywood Boulevard, like where the Grauman's Chinese Theater, the TCL Chinese Theater is right now. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you would imagine that close to the Strip, there's life. It's the city right there. But like 2 blocks up in the hills, you get into deer, you get into coyotes, you also get into rats. I never seen a rat in my life until I moved to Hollywood.
Wow. That runs contrary to what you'd think, right?
You would think. But because it's so dry out here, if you got a pool, man, you got rats coming.
You ever lose a pet, Kevin, to a coyote?
I almost lost Shecky, my miniature dachshund, not to a coyote, but to an owl. I woke up one morning to let her out. We've got if you go to my house, the third floor has a deck and a pool on it. And so when we don't have a yard per se, everything's like tiled and stuff. So I let her out into the quote unquote yard. And she was walking near the pool, and all of a sudden it was like kind of dark, like dawn was coming. It was about 5:30 or something like that, but it wasn't completely light at all. And I saw something out of the corner of my eye because I'm half asleep and I'm letting the dog out. I see something moving toward us, and I kind of turn and look, and it was an owl, because we got trees like right next to us. And so we're three floors up, and so the top of a tree, there's an owl just hanging out, and he saw Shecky, and I guess Shecky looked like a meal.
Yeah.
So this owl comes straight at us. I've never seen an owl so close in my life, except when I was watching like Mr. Rogers and he would show X the owl. And this one didn't look soft and furry like a puppet. It was not a beautiful day in the neighborhood. So this owl is coming at my dog. And again, I'm like, I've just woken up. I'm still kind of stoned from the night before. And so I'm like, is this really happening? And so I hear it, the flapping of the wings. I'll never forget it. So I'm standing next to the pool. Dog is in front of me. Owl is coming at dog. And in a split second, I grab a pool toy. It was like one of these things you put around you, and it's got a face on the front of it.
Right.
So the kid was young, so we had that kind of stuff in the pool. Grab this pool toy. Smacked the owl out of the air.
Whoa. Wow.
The owl hits the chair, the pool chair that's right there on the deck, looks at me pissed, and then takes off in the other direction. Shecky, no clue any of it happened.
Yeah, just had his life saved.
I felt like a superhero, man. I was like, I literally saved a life with my own strength and wit. I didn't even have to lose my parents to a mugger in an alley.
Owlman from The Watchmen.
Night Owl, yeah. Man.
Yeah, yeah.
It was amazing. So, yeah, so I've never lost anything, but I hear coyotes all the time. We'll be sitting in the room watching TV, and the thing you played, imagine that times 10.
Wow.
Because what happens is one of them makes a kill, and then all of them come rushing in. Mm-hmm. So you'll be sitting there and, you know, just watching TV, and all of a sudden right outside the windows you hear screeching, high pitch, and whatever it is they're killing is screaming as well. Mm-hmm. So, like, if they get a cat, you'll hear that for a second, and then it's over.
Wow.
Really unnerving, man.
It's wild.
You forget, like, we live out here in a desert. So
yeah.
It comes with wildlife.
Yep, absolutely.
It's funny because, you know, listen, I'm a big fan of animal shows, and I'm a big, you know, I love animals and blah, 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 blah. But there is a raw reality to nature, and that's what they do. The owl was looking for a meal, and that's how they get by. And you know, they don't know that, you know, you have cute little toys that have the animal's name on it. It's your pet, and they're just doing what they do, you know?
That's true. Yeah, if only they knew how many cute toys this animal's name was on.
It's
this
just brutal.
Leave us alone, man.
Yeah.
I mean, monograms so many things, and to lose that dog would be a real heartbreak.
You know, I got to say, Kevin, looking at the movie coming out, Jane Silent Bob reboot, which is super thrilled for, and thinking about what's happened in the past year of your life, and seeing Jason Mewes, who could have taken a really bad turn, looking so good and vital, and everybody's enthusiastic, and you looking leaner and meaner than you've ever looked, and looking in great shape. It almost seems an impossibility, and yet here we are. It's got to cause you to pause throughout the day and just say, oh, my God, I can't believe this.
For me, it's just all borrowed time, man. Like,
yeah.
After the heart attack, I'm like, you know, well, the dude told me I had a 20% chance of living, and somehow we made it through because he's good at his job. So at that point, though, you know, like, I had written this script years before for Clerks 3, which we just read this weekend in New Jersey twice as a benefit for the First Avenue Playhouse, which is a little playhouse in Atlantic Highlands where we held auditions for Clerks 26 years ago at this point.
God, wow.
So the theater had fallen on financial hard times. So we went down there and read this script, which for the movie, remember, we almost came out there. We were a month away from coming to Philly.
Oh, yeah.
To shoot Clerks 3, and then it fell apart and stuff. So we read the script and raised money, raised $20,000 to the theater, reading the script twice. But while I read the script, like, it was dark. It's so, like, depressing. Like, clearly the guy who wrote Clerks 3 forgot Clerks was a comedy.
Wow.
So it's all about death. And like Clerks was all about life in my 20s, and Clerks 2 was about life in my 30s. The Clerks 3 script was about middle age to death, and it was obsessed with it. And that was before I had a heart attack. So after the heart attack, I was like, oh, I know what real despair is now. Like, yeah. I don't have to make it up and put my characters to the ringer. Like, I've been close to death. I don't want to do that to my characters. So Jay and Silent Bob Reboot, real celebration of life. Definitely the post-heart attack movie, because you look at the cast, it's incredible. And that's because I guilted every one of them into being in the movie.
It does work to your benefit, doesn't it? Because I have to say, when I'm watching the trailer and I see Matt Damon and Ben Affleck, and for some reason, I mean, the rumor was that you guys weren't on really talking terms, at least at some level. I don't know what happened there. But to see them back in so many faces, it was like, yeah, I was wondering how much of that was like, well, we almost lost Kevin. We got to do this one.
Oh, it was. I'd call up people and be like, hey, man, we're making Jay and Silent Bob again. And you got to come out and play. They're like, oh, I don't know. And I'd be like, you realize I almost died. So everyone was like, okay, we're coming. So at the end of Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back, we had 22 cast cards for like all the cameos and stuff. And we shot that movie in Los Angeles. So because where everybody was, it was easy to get that cast. We shot Reboot in New Orleans. So there was this fear that like nobody's going to take the trip down there. We're not going to have nearly as many cameos. But we were shooting during Mardi Gras.
Anytime we
called somebody, they're like, you're offering me a free trip to Mardi Gras? Oh, my Lord, I'll take it. So at the end of Reboot, we have 44 single cast.
Wow.
So many people in the movie. Chris Hemsworth came on board. Yes, Ben and Matt. And Ben came through entertainment journalism. There's a guy named Kevin McCarthy who does like junkets, and he's the movie review guy in Washington, D.C., and I've met him for years, like on the circuit, like whenever I'm promoting a movie or something like that. He's incredibly passionate about movies, always enthusiastic. And when he likes my stuff. So whenever he interviews somebody who's been in one of my movies, he kind of references my stuff. Like if he's interviewing Matt Damon for something, he'll be like, hey, when are they making Good Will Hunting 3? So he's like, it's really sweet. And it's a nice way to open an interview. You know, it disarms the subject and makes you feel like, oh, well, this guy knows my work and he knows that guy and stuff like that. So he's been doing that for years. He interviewed Ben for this Netflix movie, Triple Frontier. And Ben and I hadn't spoken in like 8-9 years, just like had a falling out. And I never called to be like, hey, are we still friends? Because yeah. I was afraid to like, it's one thing to think my friend don't like me anymore.
Right.
It's another thing to like call him up and be like, do you like me anymore? And he'd be like, no, and then have it confirmed.
Right.
I just lived in ignorance for like close to a decade and stuff. And so when I was writing Reboot, I never wrote Ben into it as his character Holden from Chasing Amy or any of his characters, because I was like, I haven't seen him in years. Certainly not going to reach out to him and be like, oh, come to this movie.
Right.
So we went into production without Ben in the movie whatsoever. We were 2 weeks into production when we saw online Kevin McCarthy interviews Ben at this junket for Triple Frontier, and he opens with, hey, man, have they called you about the Reboot? They're making Reboot right now. And Ben goes, no, they haven't, and I'm free, so I'm waiting.
Wow.
And everyone in production was like, did you see this? Did you see this? And I said, yes, I saw that, but I also know the man's a professional, and that's just some nice stuff you say to junket. What is he supposed to say? Like, tell the interviewer like, oh, I don't like him anymore and I don't want to do that stupid movie. I hope it fails. Like, of course he's going
right,
to say
yeah.
something positive and stuff. And they were like, you should reach out to him. I said, I can't, because it's just, I haven't spoken to him in years, and the first time I'm going to talk to him, like, come make this movie, it's just telling you, man, that ship has sailed. So after a week, people kept badgering me about it. I said, all right, you know what? I'll write him a tweet. And I wrote this long tweet where I was just like, hey, man, we're all out here like rolling around in the past, having a blast, and we wish you were here. And I said, but post-heart attack, I don't wish anymore. I just asked for things. So will you come play with us again? Like, it's so fun. And I said, I quote Conan the Barbarian's King Osric when, you know, I say, like, there comes a time when, the the jewels cease to sparkle, the gold loses its luster, and all an old director wants is to make pretend with his friends again. Right. And so I was going to tweet that, and then Jason's wife, Jordan, she runs our company, she was like, don't tweet that. It's so public and personal. You must have a number in your phone. I was like, I got a bunch of numbers, but none of them probably work by this time. She's like, just pick one. So I picked one of them, and I texted, this you? And then all of a sudden the three bubbles popped up, and I was like, somebody's answering. And he wrote back, this me. Huh. And I wrote B-A with a question mark. And he said, he wrote back, yeah, this is your father. Who's this? Instantly, I knew it was Ben. Yeah. Ben is always like, I'm your father. So he said, who's this? And I wrote, "You, this conversation might end right now." And then I wrote KS. And there's a long beat. My heart's racing. And he just writes back, Kevin, with a question mark. And I said, yeah. And then all of a sudden he writes, how the hell are you?
Oh, man.
Like,
that
I
makes
said,
you
oh
feel so
God.
Good. Yeah.
I said, I'm good. I was just about to send this tweet. Please read this. And so I sent him the thing. And that was the moment because my heart was racing because, like, you know, when you risk yourself, you put yourself on the line, your feelings and stuff, like, got to carry that. You know, sometimes we watch so many movies, people make these heroic decisions and their character grows and the movie ends and stuff. That ain't real life. And sometimes you call up somebody going, like, I'm going to mend this bridge. And they're like, no, you're not. I hate your guts. And they hang up and you don't get your happy ending. So I was sitting there going, he's going to read this and he ain't going to respond. And then he writes back, I think it's very telling that you still think of yourself as a king.
That's great.
That's, you know,
like he said, of course I would love to come play with the old man. And he came out, I wrote a scene. We didn't have any parts left. We'd kind of cast everything.
Yeah.
So I was looking for like a quick, like in and out cameo for him to do. But then I said, wait a second. He's coming all the way down to New Orleans, man. Like that's a big gesture. I haven't seen this dude in years. And I'm going to have him do one line.
Yeah.
So I wrote to him. I said, would you mind terribly? Like if I wrote you as Holden, and he said that was his character he played in Chasing Amy, and he was also that character in Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back.
Right,
the boys like off on the road kind of.
Yeah.
So he was like, I was hoping you would say that. So I wrote an 8-page sequel to Chasing Amy in the middle of Jay and Silent Bob reboot. The movie's full of sequels to all the other movies. So you find out what happens with the characters from Clerks, Mallrats, because Jason Lee comes back. We get a Chasing Amy sequel in there, and there's even a Dogma sequel because we got Matt to come back and he's playing Loki.
That's awesome.
So, you know, as I was doing this, I've always kind of done whatever I've wanted to do in movies, for good or bad. Some people are like, yeah, and that's the problem with your career. But for this one, it felt like, you know, I remember when I was on the table during the heart attack, my one big regret, I was ready to go. I was peaceful about like, all right, if I die, I die. This is it. I had a great run. But the one thing I was like, man, if I die tonight, the last movie I made was Yoga Hoser.
Yeah.
That's my legacy, for heaven's sake. So, you know, I felt like I even thought, I was like, damn, if we had only gotten to Jay and Silent Bob reboot, what a nice way to end that would it be. So we were actually making it. I made it like it was the last movie I could ever make. So it's not only like it's funny and it's a sequel to Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back, and it's a movie that makes fun of sequels and remakes and reboots while being all three at the same time. But it's also me going like, this is my masterpiece. And not meaning this is a brilliant film. A masterpiece is a term that came from when you were, you know, an apprentice to a master. You study with them for years, and eventually everything you've learned from the master, you present in a masterpiece. Like, this is everything I've done. It's not meant to be your best work. It's meant to show I'm ready to move on. And so this one, I felt like, all right, treat it like your masterpiece. Not like it's brilliant, but like this has to stand as a testimony. It doesn't just have to be a movie. It has to stand as a testimony to like who I was in case this is the last thing. So it's this really beautiful affair, man. It's funny and it's warm. It's great.
Listen, the whole concept, I'm super thrilled. What Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back was, what, 2001?
2001.
Yeah, so all that time has passed. But, I mean, there's so many things. And vicariously, I follow you on Twitter and Instagram. You know, Bruce Willis, that's sort of been mended. You have this the Ben Affleck thing. And then what you could have missed, and thank God, obviously, you know, we would have been, I'm sure you would have been sad, too, had you passed. But to end up being validated in the Marvel Universe by having a Kevin Smith reference in a Marvel film vis-a-vis Stan Lee. How amazing was that?
That was absolutely tremendous. And this sounds like a line, but I would hope by now enough people who know me know it's true. I know I work in the movie business, and in the movie business, of course, you're supposed to aim toward the ultimate goal, which is like winning an Oscar, winning awards and stuff. I've never been that guy. I don't care about that kind of stuff. But I do care about Hollywood. I do care about pop culture, obviously, and entertainment, so much so that it drew me out here to the Great Salt Lick many, many years ago and stuff. So when I think about things that validate what I've been doing for a quarter of a century, it's not like an Oscar. This means that I've done good. That moment when Stan Lee is reading a Mallrats script and you see my name on it in Captain Marvel, to be a part of the Marvel Universe, which means that I bring everyone with me. If you're a Kevin Smith movie fan, you're part of the Marvel Universe. If you saw Mallrats now, you're part of the Marvel Universe. That was everything. Kevin Feige called me up about 3 months before the movie came out to be like, I got something to tell you, but it's all spoilers, and, you know, it's about Captain Marvel. And I was like, okay, I won't say anything. And he goes, it's about Stan's cameos. I said, okay. He said, Stan's Endgame cameo is done, finished, it's beautiful. We've all seen it. You know, it was young Stan going, make love, not war, man. He said, the one for Captain Marvel, Stan was on the weaker side. This is a few months before Stan passed. So he's like, he doesn't sound like himself. His voice doesn't really sound like Stan. He's going, now I got to spoil the movie for you a little bit to tell you about the cameo. I said, okay. He goes, so in the movie, Captain Marvel is on a train looking for a Skrull. And I'm like, what? There's Skrull? he's like, there are Skrulls. And she's looking for one, and she hears a guy reading lines from a script, reciting lines from a script over and over again. And then we see the script for Mallrats, and she lowers the script, and there's Stan. And I'm crying on the phone. Ugh. I was like, oh my God. And he's going, but there's a problem. So I'm thinking his next thing is, we're going to put you in the scene with Stan. Yeah. Like, oh my God, this is amazing. But instead he was like, we need better sounding versions of his voice, because when he recorded that day, he sounded kind of weak. So we figured Stan was never a one take wonder guy. So he probably has multiple takes from Mallrats. And I said, oh, my God, he absolutely does. If you reach out to Universal, they'll probably have that stuff, because we did a 10-year anniversary, 15 anniversary at DVD. So he said, all right, thank you. Don't ever tell anyone this story. I said, I won't.
And true to your word.
But it was awesome. That kind of stuff. Like, you know, again, I have a feeling that was heart attack related. Like, it was really nice. After the heart attack, I assume most people would be like, oh, I wish he died, man. Silent Bob forever. But it was the opposite. Like, people were like, oh, you know what? We like that guy after all.
Yeah, hey, it's so true.
Hey, Kev, I want to ask you, because, you know, speaking of the Marvel Universe, leading up to Endgame, I spent 2 months prior to that movie coming out going through in chronological order, watching all of the Marvel movies, and I think it made the experience of seeing Endgame that much more special. Do we, as viewers of all of your films, would you recommend us going back and watching everything from Clerks leading up to reboot?
You absolutely can, but it's designed in such a way that, like, you know, I'm hitting on memories from all those movies that will instantly ping. Not where you'd be like, wait, I don't understand. I don't remember that. I don't go for the deep cuts references. I go for the stuff that if you only watched Clerks once, you would totally understand. But there's a, let me see, the way like the movie's coming out, we're slow platform releasing it, but because we're doing a reboot roadshow tour. So everywhere we do the roadshow tour, after the tour leaves that town, then the movie opens in that area. But before that, on October 15th and October 17th, we're having these screenings in theaters nationwide through Fathom Events. And on the October 17th screening, It's a back-to-back double feature of Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back and Jay and Silent Bob.
Oh, love it. Okay. Love it.
You can watch those back-to-back, and you can literally watch us all age before your eyes.
Hey, were you able to squeak in any nods to Carlin, or do you want to wait and let all that be revealed?
There is a constant nod to Carlin awesome. In the entire third act. We didn't miss him. He's in there.
Good. Well, one of the nuclear laughs in the first film, just amazing. But I mean, you talk about the cast. You have Justin Long, Jason Biggs, James Vanderbeek, Melissa Benoist, Supergirl, Val Kilmer, Grant Gustin as Flash, and on and on and on. And I mean, Shannon Elizabeth. I was seeing you genuinely moved by all of these people coming to be together. Rosario Dawson, for this movie, a big love you to you and your films, at least for us as the film goer, has always been a big love you to your fan base and to pop culture in general. It is a Lion King circle of life sort of thing, and it has to be impressive to you to see this outpouring.
I mean, it's look, at the end of the day, like I don't make huge movies.
Yeah.
But the movies I do make lodge in your heart. They're viral. It's kind of like catching herpes. Once you get it, you can't get rid of it. It stays with you for life. So like not everyone interacts with the movies that I make in the same way, but there's some people that like I've grown up with you. I saw you when I was 17. I watched that black and white movie. And now I'm 42 and you've been a part of my life and now I got kids and I introduced them to your stuff. So it's weird and wonderful. I didn't expect any of this. I didn't expect Clerks would work. I didn't expect I'd get a career out of it. I certainly didn't expect we'd be doing it a quarter of a century. I didn't expect we'd ever go back to Jay and Silent Bob. You can find many quotes online where a younger me is like, if I'm still wearing a backwards baseball cap at age 40, shoot me. and not only am I wearing it in the movie, but every day of my life as well. So you never know which way the road's going to turn, but the road has turned in my favor a lot. And again, not like, you know, I've seen my peers have incredible, like, success and stuff. But I've been chugging along for 25 years doing exactly what I want to do and never really having to do anything I didn't want to do in order to sustain a career, like just saying my own thing. So it's been so nice and wrapping that all up in Jay and Silent Bob Reboot, because not only do we deal with all the movies I've ever done, but my life is packed in there and stuff. Like my kids in the movie playing Jay's kid. Like
that's so
Carly
cool.
plays Jay's daughter. So they've known each other since she popped out the chute like years ago. She loved him growing up, like, because that's Uncle Jay. So for her to like be in the movie with him, we got really stellar results we weren't thinking about. Like we got really emotional scenes because she'll cry in the movie as her character, and Jason's known her his whole life. So when she cries, he starts crying. So you get some like real acting from Jason. But I don't know if it's real acting as much as reacting and stuff, but it's. Yeah. I don't know. It's nice. You get to do that because we've done this for as long as we have. Adam Goldberg, you know, who does the Goldbergs.
He's great. Over,
love him to death. He came over to watch the movie, and he goes, oh, my God. He's going, you've got a deep bench of characters like Marvel. This is kind of like a low-budget Endgame. Everybody comes together. And it's nice. It's nice to still play with those characters. After I had the heart attack, I felt really old, I'll be honest with you. And then the only thing that was going to make me feel young is if I went up to the attic, pulled out all my old toys, and started playing with them again. So that's what we did with Reboot. And it was real good for what ailed me.
I love it. We want to mention that the screening is going to be on November 7th at the Philadelphia Film Center. And Kevin is going to be in town hosting it. So that's going to be really special. I hope you have some time to maybe swing by the studio when you're in town, Kevin. So we'll stay in touch about that.
I would absolutely love to. I know the first show is sold out, and the second show is almost sold out at this point. So I'll have plenty of time to come in and chit-chat. Cool.
Is it you solo, or are you with Jason as well?
Jason's coming as well for the whole first leg of the tour, because we're touring from October till late December, and then we tour again from January to March. So I'll be on the road for like 6 months with the movie, but Jason will be with me for the first half.
Well, we're thrilled. We're super thrilled. We love it all, and it's just fantastic, and we're thrilled for you.
Yep, absolutely.
You guys are incredibly sweet, man. Thanks for listening to me blather on this morning. But for everyone out there listening, that Ben Affleck story,
yep.
that's your cue, man, to, like, if there's somebody
Do
in
it.
Your life that you haven't reached out to and you're like, oh, things just weren't, reach out. This
yep.
is the moment. If I could reach out to that Ben, so much so that he wound up in the movie and made the movie better, man, you can reach out to your old friend right now. Email, text, even better than that, pick up the phone, hear a human voice. Because there's a good chance that that person's been waiting to hear from you as well.
I love it.
Sage advice.
That's a great way to wrap this up. Kevin, good to talk to you, man. We'll see you soon, okay?
Excellent talking to you guys.
Love it.
Have a great Pennsylvania day.
Excellent. All right, Kevin Smith, guys.
Yeah.
That's a great sentiment right there, no question. Go ahead and do it.
I love that.
I
love
too.
That also because in that, think of that. In the Bruce Willis story, he loved Bruce Willis and they got into a thing and
yep.
now they're talking again. These are little things in life that are good to see happen for other people. It reminds you, as he said, if you're estranged from someone,
yep.
try to reconnect.
Absolutely.
Get a whole lot more Preston and Steve at PrestonandSteve.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.